This is Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
Hosted by the writers of Patriots.com. From now until you hear
the New England Patriots light,
the countdown is on. Welcome to the Patriots Draft Countdown, presented by Bud Light.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Patriots Draft Countdown, brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy, the official beer sponsor of the New England Patriots. And we're back, guys, just a little over 3 weeks to go to the draft. We've rifled through a lot of prospect videos, and we're here just to kick off this show talking about some of the latest draft news. I think we're kind of settling into silly season, Paul. It feels like this is when people start to, you know, you hear things like, what? That doesn't make sense. They love that guy. Most notably with Tony Pauline's report yesterday that Elliot Wolf enamored with J.J. McCarthy, the hot new name here on the mock draft circuit. So what do you take away from that? Anything?
I don't take much in terms of what it means directly to the Patriots. I think that Elliot Wolf and the cast of thousands that he's evidently been traveling with while, you know, going around to watch all these guys. I think McCarthy's an interesting prospect only because of what I've been saying all along. I just think he has the most unknown because I just haven't seen him be able to do all the things that all the other guys had to do for their teams in college. So I think there's a skill set there. I think he's got, you know, good enough size. I think he runs tough. I think he's pretty athletic. I think he's shown that he can move around and make plays outside the pocket. But like I said, I just haven't seen him be able to, you know, put a team on his back and have to throw the ball 35, 40, 45 times to ensure victory. I've seen all the other guys have to do that from time to time.
Now, Evan, I'm going to tee up. I mean, we last episode we showed a film breakdown you did of McCarthy. You know, we talk so much about guys like Mac Jones and Joe Burrow and these guys that come from LSU and Alabama that have superstar casts around them. And maybe not quite the case with J.J. McCarthy. Do you think he's getting downgraded before, you know, think if he was playing on one of those teams,
yeah,
we might be talking a little bit higher about him?
Well, that's what a lot of people that like J.J. McCarthy will tell you. I'll just say this along the same lines as Paul. Last week it was that the Commanders are enamored with J.J. McCarthy. This week it's now the Patriots that are enamored with J.J. McCarthy. So I think that people are just trying to figure out where to put J.J. McCarthy. Like, obviously he's a guy that's going to go a little bit higher than maybe we thought a couple months ago. He's going to probably go in the top half of the first round. But is it going to be as early as 2 or 3, or are we more talking about in that Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett range in the teens? I would just say that proceed with caution this time of year. This time last year, Will Levis was a top 10 pick. In 2021, Mac Jones was a San Francisco 49er at number 3 overall. Then we get to the draft, and they end up finding their level, and they end up going in a more comfortable range for their skill set. I think that there's a lot to like about J.J. McCarthy in terms of the talent and just the ball of clay that he is. You know, he does have the ability, like Paul said, to move, get outside the pocket. He's elusive in the pocket, put down a fantastic 3-cone time. So he's got that agility and that jitterbugness about him in the pocket. And he's got a plus arm. I wouldn't say it's an elite arm, but it's a better than average NFL arm as well. So you have some things to work with, but there's a lot of things I think in this game that need seasoning. Post-snap decision-making probably being the biggest one, but also accuracy in terms of ball placement down the field too. So I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy. Everybody knows that, but I'm trying to open my mind and not be as critical about it because clearly there are people in the league that have a lot of love for him.
Yeah, what about you, Cheese? Are you a J.J. McCarthy guy?
Not at all. I think it's smokescreen season, and I think it's a very risky pick to take him. I don't think he's better than the other three guys. I think it's risky to take him at 3, and I think it's going to be pretty funny when it just goes Caleb, Jaden, Drake. And
so
we'll
boring.
See it is boring, but sometimes it's what has to happen.
Well,
so.
But that's how I want it to go, and I put out my latest mock draft. So yeah, Drake May, my guy. I'd love them to go with him, and we've got coming up next here on Draft Countdown. We have a full film segment where Evan breaks down Drake May as well, just like he did with McCarthy. So guys, let's just kind of hash out these two a little bit right now, because it's like the more things change, the more they say the same. Paul, you said it a couple shows ago, you know, on Unfiltered, we've been talking about the same stuff. Ultimately, does it just kind of still boil down to Daniels or May?
I think it does, and I think that particular thing, I think, boils down to your particular taste, and I think that there's a lot to like about both guys, and that's why I said some nice things about McCarthy too, because Evan's right. Just because we don't necessarily look at McCarthy in that light doesn't mean he doesn't deserve to be talked about, like that. So I like the idea of May because I just feel like there's so much upside there. Now, you can make an argument that, you know, the opposite is not what you're looking for. If it doesn't work out, you don't really have much to fall back on. I just feel like he had to do a lot of things for that team last year. And I want that. I want a guy who sort of had to be the guy and had to have it all on his shoulders. And, you know, I don't think it was great. But when you're talking about, you know, well, he failed. Well, what was North Carolina last year? Like, you know, like 8-4 or something? Like, it's not like they went, you know, 2-12, you know, when it was all on his shoulders. He still won some games. Didn't win as many as a lot of people thought he might. So, you know, that's how it worked. I like May, I think, a lot of them. But certainly I understand the upside with Daniels, too. I know Evan got a chance to see them both up close and personal. But.
Yeah, we'll talk about the pro days. You were down there on the tour of the South. So
yeah, right. It was a fun time. I think the biggest thing with Jaden Daniels is that you are really banking on his athleticism and his running ability being his superpower, because what I saw from him throwing the football was okay. I wasn't blown away, though. I didn't look at him and say, wow, this arm talent is just fantastic. He's got a really big arm, and he can kind of just flick the wrist and generate velocity and this, that, the other thing. I kind of felt like it was an NFL arm. We, you know, go out to training camp and stuff like that, and we see guys throw all the time. And I didn't look at his arm talent and sit there and say, this is so much better than Mac Jones, or this is so much better than Bailey Zappi. Maybe a little bit more control on the ball than those guys at times, but not blown away. Whereas with Drake May, he just has a hand cannon. I mean, that guy off platform, off one leg, rolling to his left, rolling to his right, it doesn't make a difference. He can just flick it 65 yards in the air. And I was standing right there when he dropped it in to Tez Walker on the sideline, 65 yards on a dime.
How
and
do you look too?
And I was just like, man, this is just, that's different. That's a different trait. And if you are looking, if you still are of the mind that you need to win with your arm in this league, and eventually all of the running and off-platform stuff is all great, well, and good, but the person that's going to sit in the pocket and be able to pick apart a defense is the guy that's going to hold the trophy at the end of the day. I just look at Drake May and think that is an easier path for him to get to that point. With Daniels, I think you're really counting on the whole package, the running ability, the arm, and it all coming together at this level for that ability to go on a season like he had last year at LSU.
What do you got, Tease, on those
first
two?
I want to hear more about Tez Walker, but I think Jaden Daniels, I don't think we're ready for him. I think, I know Evan's mentioned this before. He had Malik Nabers, he had Brian Thomas. Like, I think he needs a bit more structure, and I think honestly the Commanders have a more set offense right now for him than the Pats would. And Drake May, just as I said, you can sit him for a while. He has the traits, he has an absolute cannon, so I think May's the guy, and I really hope he ends up here.
Yeah, when it comes to elevating the players around them, I think that Jaden Daniels could distribute the ball to good receivers, no problem. But when it comes to actually taking that an offense that maybe doesn't have great receivers yet and elevating it to beyond what it is, I just think Drake May brings more to the table in that respect.
All right, we're here now talking the defensive front seven guys. We're going to include three different position groups here because, let's face it, the Patriots need offense. And I would make an argument that they need some front seven help in the not-too-distant future. But for this year, just running down real quick, I mean, Lawrence Guy departed. However, they did sign Armon Watts, kind of could fill that position. You got Keon White from last year stepping up there. But otherwise, it's kind of the same front. We know the year Christian Barmore had. Daniel Okwale, a rotational piece coming back. At linebacker, you got Bentley and Tavai. Sione Takitaki comes in. Raekwon McMillan coming back from an injury. I'm just listing all these guys off to show some of the depth. The one position I do think is a concern, though, is along the edge. And so it's not impossible to see them going in that position early on, but I'd like to just start with like the four top guys, I think, of that group, which is Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Dallas Turner, and Laiatu Latu. Four guys who all really fit kind of the Patriots prototype along the edge, who could potentially make, you know, a good three down rotational piece alongside Matthew Judon, Josh Uche, Anfernee Jennings. Still feels like they're a little light there, but Tease, they're probably not going to be able to take one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at this like we talked about with the DBs. I hope we don't take somebody at the defensive front seven before the fourth. But Jared Verse, I mean, we saw him in Indianapolis at Kilroy. Shout out to the breadsticks. But that guy is a unit. And it's, I said it earlier, it's a shame that we had such a tough year, because you would love to see these guys on the Patriots. But we just, this isn't what we need right now. So, but Jared Verse, top of the crop right there for me.
He's actually one that I'm really high on. And I love his story, you know, coming from a lower level out of nowhere from Albany, and you know, being just a star at a level like Florida State. So I agree with Tease. Really like the player. Don't really see much of a chance of the Patriots being in position. Now, maybe if you're talking about trading down and some of the dominoes that you kind of traded down with an eye on don't fall into place, I think that's a guy that he screened Patriot when you watch him. But I think very, very little to no chance.
Yeah, I felt like Dallas Turner, too, Alabama guy. I mean, another one that would easily fit. Guys who have good stories. I mean, it seemed like his career was going to end. The neck injury, comes back, very athletic, very long.
Latu is one of my favorite guys because I don't watch a ton of games, but I'm watching a UCLA game, and this guy Latu is, I think it might have been against USC, and he made a couple of plays like back-to-back. I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep that guy in mind.
Yeah.
And like 2 minutes later, the guy goes, well, he's going to be a top 15 pick. That's why. And I'm like, nothing gets by Paul.
He's your prototypical edge rusher. I mean, 13 sacks on the season, just absolutely dominated this year at UCLA. And I mean, not afraid to catch the football. Two interceptions on the season as well. But he's a guy that is going to set the edge when you need him to. Same with Jared Verse. Like, easily, in my opinion, the two top guys in that draft that you could select from.
That's what they need. Like, you know, I think they, I mean, it's just, it's an underrated need. And that's why, like, if it were to happen early, I wouldn't totally hate it. The other guy I'll just mention is Darius Robinson from Mizzou. Watched him during Senior Bowl practices. I mean, he's a handful. I mean, wherever he lines up, he can play a number of different spots. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to make it out of the first round, but he's another one who maybe not quite in that upper tier. But if he were to slip, I could maybe consider it there in the second round.
Yeah. No, he's great, honestly. Always in the backfield. Just always. Just his presence is felt. And 14 tackle for loss on the season led the team. So it's a great number.
So, just before we move on from the edge guys, I'm curious what you think in terms of the style of edge player. If the Patriots, again, I think we all agree, we're talking day three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I think the needs are there. But would you want a bigger edge guy, maybe, you know, Anfernee Jennings, physical edge setter? Or would you want maybe a smaller 250, you know, pass rusher?
Great question, Paul. I mean, I love that. Thanks. you kind of set me up because I have, two later round options, I think, that cover kind of both those options. Nelson Caesar is one who's kind of been on my radar for a little bit. He's kind of more that prototypical, has the power, was a captain, but more like kind of the edge setter type, maybe needs some work on the pass rush, just a little bit more Jennings than Uche. But then Jalen Harrell from Michigan, I mean, everybody watched Michigan's defense this year. He's another one who, you know, kind of reminds me of Uche a little bit, maybe not quite so specific to being a pass rusher, a designated pass rusher like Uche is, with his, Uche's speed around the edge. But I just was really impressed with kind of Harrell's athleticism. He's kind of shifty, he can kind of beat guys and make guys miss.
If you're taking an edge rusher, I want to get after the quarterback. That's what I like. Muhammad Kamara, Colorado State. I don't know if you guys watched the one Colorado game everybody watched, Colorado State versus Colorado, but he's a beast. Just gets back there, very violent and aggressive off the line. He had 30 and a half career sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 45 and a half tackles for loss, and that's kind of what I want there. And I think if you're taking an edge rusher as the Patriots, we have Judon, Anfernee Jennings, Uche, so you're really going to develop and then hope they hit their stride next. So you don't really need a day one starter. So that's my thought there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Patriots retaining Uche shows that they feel they have a little bit more in him, especially at the edge role. Obviously fell off a little bit this season, but I think they're expecting him to get back to where he was in 2022. I think that's a huge step that he'll need to take heading into this season to really see if he's worth what the Patriots are looking for. Yeah.
Judon stays healthy.
I was going to say, I know you want to talk about the big guys inside, Mike. That's your specialty. But one thing to keep in mind for this discussion is Judon, specifically because last year of his deal, I do think, I'm not telling you he's getting traded tomorrow, but it wouldn't be overly surprising to me. And then all of a sudden you pick up maybe a second or third round pick and you replace him with a young pass rusher.
Yeah.
Like that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Like I'd throw Chris Braswell from another guy, Senior Bowl, similar kind of thing, but more of a pass rusher,
Bama guy.
I love those Bama guys. And I mean, that's, you know, but I think just to go back to your question, Paul, I mean, I really think they really need to find a three-down guy. I mean, I don't think, you know, you want to go into the season thinking like, oh, God, you know, Jennings out there first, second down, get him off, Uche's in. Like, it's just you'd love to find a three-down guy that can kind of do it all. And, you know, maybe you draft somebody this year like that, you know, not like a Caesar that you can kind of develop and allow him to grow into that. But before we get to down into the, you know, the big guys inside, I just wanted to, you know, highlight Peyton Wilson from NC State, who he ran a 4.43. At the combine, fast. Which is like, you know, he's like 6'2", 240. I mean, absolutely flying. Just a lot of injury concerns with him. I think the Patriots are probably mostly set inside right now, but he's one guy. If you wanted to kind of evolve a little bit, add a little bit more speed on the second level, again, probably going to go too high from when they're going to take him if they believe he can stay healthy, but could fit.
I got another guy, which might be the Pats' sweet spot, kind of maybe fourth round, Cedric Gray from UNC, bit of an outside linebacker, but also play him on the edge. But that he kind of is like a Jennings to me, like, you know, develop him. If it works out, great. If not, like, you know, you give him some time. So that's a guy I'd look out for. Also, UNC, you know, Drake May. They might know each other.
They can roommates.
Maybe you can throw it to him. That doesn't work.
Chris, you got any off the ball linebacker types, or should we move on to the defensive IDLs, as we like to call them?
I have a couple of the DLs in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, tee us up with the biggest of them all.
I'll tee us up. All right, Braden Fisk out of Florida State. I mean, just an absolute dog. We were watching him at the combine, just our mouths just fell to the floor when we saw his speed and that 40-yard dash of his. But he's a guy, I mean, 43 tackles, a true run stuffer, but also can get to the quarterback. He's quick. I mean, if he gets his hands inside you, I mean, it's game over. You lost that battle. So, I mean,
aggressive. I forget what the word I wrote, but he just, I mean, he's a dog. You just tell, like, he's going to come in, he's going to play hard. But I thought you were going to go with Tavondre Sweat.
Oh, I love Sweat.
That's
I love him.
Who's just a big boy.
That is a big
that's a big dude who can move in the Senior Bowl. I mean, just a big guy.
Made a lot of plays in the playoffs.
Yeah, he ran a 5.2 or something, which a guy that size is absurd.
It's like mass equals force times acceleration. I'm like, oh my God. But he's, you know, again, like, Godshaw. You know, Barmore is more of a kind of penetrator type. Like, you know, Dietrich Wise, you know, is he the right fit? Are you maybe, you know, considering Keon White to be in that role? So it's just I could see, you know, and Sweat's going to go too early. But like, you kind of need some of those space eaters, those kind of two-gap guys. I do have some other ones, though, later on. But Paul, you mentioned Sweat, great in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, he's made a lot of plays. He was a big part of that disruptive front. They weren't great defensively as a team. And obviously Washington had their way with them in that game, but I do think he showed up in most of the games I watched. Chris Jenkins, another kid from Michigan, we talked about in some of our earlier shows about the kids of pros, and we didn't talk on the off-ball linebackers of Jeremiah Trotter. Same kind of thing, you know, good bloodlines. I'm always intrigued by those guys, especially when they play similar, you know, positions. So obviously, you know, we talk about it at the high profile with Marvin Harrison. Chris Jenkins' dad was a tremendous all-pro caliber interior defensive lineman. So I don't know where he's going to fall. He's probably day two rather than day three, so he's probably out of the Patriots' range, but another guy to keep an eye on.
I had Rook Aroro.
Yeah.
I already heard the fans.
I think you got that right.
I can already hear the fans going Rook, but no, he's a big boy. Yeah. He really takes up space for the linebackers, free him up. I just think, like, once again, this isn't a glaring need for the Patriots, but this could be a fun developmental prospect, and he might go a little too high. I also had Leonard Taylor, third, LT3. From Miami, another big guy, works hard, and if he's a later round guy, you know, just take him. Why not?
And not to cut you off, dudes, but just going in, I mean, Mason Smith, another big interior guy. I know we talked about him a little bit earlier, but 6'5", 306 pounds, like another big fella, but he's quick.
Yeah.
5.01, 40-yard dash. I mean, that's impressive and something that can be agile when you need him to be. So, again, another run stuffer there for
another kind of prototypical 3-4 D end. And that's, you know, kind of what I was looking at with some of these guys is day three two gappers.
Yep.
And it's not sexy. It's, you know, it's these, you know, big guys that aren't going to do a lot. They're probably going to be just the first two downs. But I think when you look at the Patriots' defensive structure, this is, you know, what they want. They want a couple guys inside that can take up multiple blockers. You mentioned Smith. I'd also say Jordan Jefferson from LSU, who probably more of a penetrator and, you know, more of that Barmore type. But that's kind of where I get confused. And, you had a good question, Paul, about just what are you looking for on the edge? And it's, you know, it's still how are they going to evolve? I think you always need both those two gapper types, but you need guys like Jefferson, too, who have some speed like Barmore and can penetrate and can affect the quarterback.
And just specifically,
down.
I'd be curious to see how the Patriots feel about it. Is that going to change? you know, what they're actually looking for with, mm-hmm. with Bill gone. And, you know, does maybe Gerard try to put some of an imprint of his own on this, or does he just kind of stick to the system the way it is run?
Kind of covering all their bases, you know, like we got penetrators, we got two gappers, we got run stopping us. You know, it's hard to have that, like, amount of players and then have to, like,
yeah, like Bill has always seemed to be reluctant to sacrifice size and physicality on the edge for pure rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'd be curious to see if Gerard feels the same, or if he decides to go after some of these 240-pound edge guys.
Yeah,
that probably aren't going to hold up against the run like, you know, Anfernee Jennings is. You know, but maybe you get a little more explosiveness out there.
Yeah. I think the Patriots also have like the age difference between your interior guys. I mean, you have the Christian Barmores, who's still kind of young. But then you have Devon Godshaw, DJ Wise, like they're getting up there in age, and yep. you want to see which guys can really fit in that type of role, especially if there's going to be some flow there.
I think it's not 2025, but after next year, it's like nobody in the front seven is under contract. I mean, actually, it might be next year. So it's like these guys are all coming up. So it's you do have to have a mind for the future. One last name I'll just mention, Jaden Carmody from Mississippi State, another four-year starter, big, powerful, two-gapping, interior, day three type guy. I could see that kind of pick making sense, especially if guys, you know, Jeremiah Farms, Sam Roberts, maybe not quite developing. I know we've heard from Elliot Wolf that they want to play these young guys a little bit more. So, you know, maybe that allows them to have some depth with some of these guys
Keon
who haven't
White,
played.
Absolutely.
Keon White.
He's got to get he's got to get a prominent role, right?
Yeah.
You know, second round pick, year two, it's time.
Get him in there. You got anybody else?
Paul touched on him a little, just Jeremiah Trotter. I know he's a linebacker. I just want to shout. They don't make linebackers like that anymore. He's wearing number 54, just a center, green dot guy. And he's going to go too high for the Pats. But, I mean, just he's quite a player. So it'd be interesting to see if they did something there.
Yeah.
But.
All right, well, a lot of options there for the Patriots to consider. We talked about their needs and the depth and all that. So that's going to wrap up the defensive side of the ball. Just a few episodes left, and, of course, we'll finish off with a full live hour episode, wrap up everything we learned here. I know everybody's getting itchy for the draft, so be sure to stick with us here on Patriots Draft Countdown, released every Wednesday.